Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to another episode of Abby the Podcast Lady. We have a special guest on today. This isn't something that I have done previously. This is actually something new that I'm introducing to the Podcast Lady, all thanks to Podmatch, which is a service that hooks you up with podcast guests in your desired topic or industry or genre. And I have my very first Podmatch guest on today, which I'm super excited for. Please welcome to the show, Maylee Oztalay. Welcome.
Hey, Abby. Nice to be on your show. I'm glad we got connected with Podbadge.
I know. I'm so excited. I actually met, I think it's Alex, at Podfest last year when I was down in Orlando, Florida, and I had been kicking around like, oh, should I get signed up? Should I get signed up? And then I finally did just a few weeks ago, and you were one of the first matches that came up. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, I just started using Podmatch, I don't know, whatever, 6 months ago or something like that. And I found it so much easier. I, as the guest, type in who I want and, you know, what type of shows I'm comfortable with. And it matches me up accordingly, right? And now, of course, yeah, I got a few that weren't right. But for the most part, it's always on track. And it's so much easier than trying to pitch, podcast hosts individually. This is just makes it so much easier. So yeah, I'm good with this.
Not sponsored by it, but I don't know. I wouldn't turn down a sponsorship. Let's just say that. We'll say good things.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So for all of our listeners, can you give me a little background on who you are, what you do, what's kind of your background in podcasting?
So I'll give you two sides of that. Number one is I have a 38-year-old marketing agency out of the Detroit metro area. It's a long story, but I've got a team of roughly about 25. We've got creative, marketing, technical. We got writers. Everybody's in the Detroit metro area. My current team's been with me since the financial crisis, so they've been running with me now for 14 years. There's very little we don't do when it comes to marketing, digital marketing, branding, take your pick, PR, etc. We pretty much cover the basis of anything and all marketing. That being said, I'll tell you, I'm an early adopter. I started our internet group in 94. So it's been a long ride. I've been through all these changes upon changes upon changes in technology and society and, you know, all the different things that came along with it. But at the same time, you know, but roughly during the financial crisis, I started being an industry author, guest speaker, and I used to get invited on radio shows before the pandemic. I used to go to conferences and be a guest speaker. Of course, nowadays we don't need to do any of that anymore. And story right now is this, and this is where I think you and I kind of got together, is 6-7 months ago, I created a podcast with another group of three people. And as I was telling you before the show, everybody's, you know, of the four people, we all have like 30, 40 years of experience in business, right? Everybody's coming from different angles, which is cool. But we do the show's recording on Wednesdays. We come to the show at 4 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday, and we don't have a clue what we're going to talk about. And so we spend about 15 minutes going back and forth what we're going to talk about. And all of a sudden, we hit something that we all like or that we all feel comfortable talking about. And once we get started, you can't shut us up. And so at one point, we decided that we need to cut our podcast off at 30 minutes.
Oh.
And so I get to play the bad guy at around 25 minutes. I'm like, okay, it's time to, guys, we got to wrap it up. So what are our takeaways?
Time to land the plane, boys.
Exactly. But at the same time, it also came down to how do we promote this, right? So that's the other side of the equation, which I'm happy to get into all that as well.
That's amazing. Well, before we get into how you guys are promoting the show and your experience with marketing things, what's the name of the podcast so people can go listen to it?
Oh, you're going to love this one. It's called Business Lunatics.
Shut up. That's amazing. I love it. I know. Business Lunatics. I'm writing that down.
Listen, we've been around for too long. And honestly, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're in business and you own your own company and you're either that or you're in a startup, whatever the case might look like, honestly, you got to be a lunatic to keep going. Oh,
can confirm. I've been full-time self-employed for about a year and a half at this point with my podcast production business. And I feel like a lunatic. I'm like, what am I doing? I feel crazy. Right. When I explain to people what I do, they look at me like I have a third eye. Like, you have to be a little nuts to be full-time self-employed and chase your dreams and follow your passions. So I love
that. Exactly, right. It's not for everybody. You know, I know that a lot of people like to have a structured environment. Some people don't like a structured environment. It just depends on, you know, who you are, your personality, your character, you know, what makes you tick. And so, it's for me, it's always been a lot of fun. And I remember when we came up with the show's name, Business Lunatics, we're like, you know what, that works.
Okay, so you're in the marketing industry. I actually, one of my podcast clients is a marketing agency and they do deep dives on like what it takes to build a brand. So I'm definitely familiar with what you guys do as a marketing agency, but that's not something everyone really knows. So can you give like a 10,000 foot overview of what a marketing agency does and how you can help people with sharing their messages?
Yeah. So listen, because I've been in the industries for so long, I've got a lot of interesting stories to tell. But you have to take a look at the marketing agency as the group that decides on the strategy. They base that on research. They come up with a plan. They come up with a strategy. And then they decide, how do we move the needle? How do we get to the objective? Now, if the objective is I have to sell something, you know, I'm going to sell a product or I'm selling a service. Like, for example, I'm selling, I'm a B2B company. And so I'm selling certain things. Or it's that I'm trying to get myself known, right? I mean, whatever the case might look like, you decide what the objective is, whether it's lead generation, is it selling something, is it selling a service or a product? And so work through that. The plan then decides, where do we go next? How do we execute on that plan? Plan is a starting point. It is not an end point, which I think a lot of people make the mistake that the plan is the end point, and it's not. It's where you start. The plan is a cycle. It's a process. The process has activities. The activities have tasks. The tasks and the activities have to be measured. So if you think about a cycle, by the time you get through the cycle, at the end of that cycle, you're looking at the measurements. You're coming up with reports. You're coming up with an analysis. And more importantly, you're coming up with an interpretation of the analysis. And all of that has to be done across multiple data points. That is what a marketing agency does, right? It's fixated on your goal. It's fixated on the process. And by the time you complete that cycle one round, it's time to figure out, what am I going to do to improve the next cycle?
Exactly.
That's what a marketing agency does. And that's what a marketing agency should do. The problem we have in the marketplace nowadays is that every Tom, Dick, and Harry puts up a shingle and says, I do X, Y, Z. Well, that's all fine and dandy. But what that boils down to is that you're providing a service, you're executing tasks. And what you end up with is the blind leading the blind. As you can imagine, there's a huge difference in price. Somebody's going to provide you a service versus an agency is going to get whatever, 5, 10, 25 people involved in your project, right? So ultimately, you get what you pay for. But answering your question, what does a marketing agency do and what do we, how does this all work? That's what the marketing agency does. The best example I have for you is I was with a client years ago. And honestly, I went to the first meeting down in Phoenix. And I got to the meeting and the general manager looks at me. He goes, "What are we talking about?" "Well, you pay us money and here we are 90 days later. I'm going to tell you what's going on. And then you're going to tell me what's going on your end so I can figure out what I'm going to do, help you with your with whatever it is that you're trying to achieve next." And he goes, "Well, nobody's ever done that before." And I said, "Well, what have you been doing?" "Well, I send this check to so-and-so. They send me a colorful report. I look at it. It looks good. And I ditch it." And because this guy is my age and I'm 62, he's in my age range. I said, "Listen, at what point in history was your printer your ad agency?" And the moment I said that, light bulbs went off in his head. I said, "Listen, you've been hiring your printer to do your advertising. Now you're hiring an ad agency to take care of business." And that made all the sense in the world to him. And that's when it finally clicked on him. And this is what we have in the marketplace right now, too, is the same scenario, is that we have service providers that execute tasks versus marketing agencies or advertising agencies. And the question is, you know, how do you make this work in today's environment?
I think that is a perfect example. I love this story of your printer is not the ad agency.
Exactly. Like,
it's something that I think people even find a little bit confusing sometimes on my end. And I know I'm guilty. I should probably be explaining this better, but people will hire me as their podcast producer and I make all their content for them. But it's a totally different thing to actually distribute that content, the social media right. graphics that I make to promote the show, the blog posts. Like, you got to get that out into the world. It can't just sit there in the Google Drive file. And if you're not doing the work to get it out there, then you're kind of screwed.
Yep. Where are you going? So I don't know if I answered your question.
You did, yes.
Because I can go off on a few different tangents here.
I love a tangent. I'm tangent girly over here.
That's
so
right.
Let's kind of get into the distribution, especially through the lens of podcasting. So I like to say that podcasting can be kind of the center of your marketing strategy. It can be chunked up and turned into a lot of different things. And I would love to know what your thoughts are on how podcasting can help be effective marketing and advertising for your business.
I'll have some interesting stories with some of my loonies on the Business Lunatics show. Aren't we good at the marketing side of it? Okay. So I'm sitting here pushing them constantly, trying to get them to do the activities that we need to do. You're absolutely right, right? You have the show's video, the actual footage. But then the good news is, especially with all these tools that we have available to us, we can take that footage and we can create a bunch of shorts. Easy shorts that go into TikTok, that go into Instagram, heck, for that matter, they can go into YouTube and LinkedIn, but you have these shorts that help to give people a snippets of what it is that you were talking about, or the snippets are valuable for somebody to say, "Oh, I want to listen to more of this show. I really like what this person said," right? So you want to take those short snippets to get people's attention. The process is the hard part, right? You need a YouTube channel. You need an Instagram channel. You need a TikTok channel. You need a LinkedIn account because you don't, you know, like I tell a lot of our clients, you have to do what's called omni-channel marketing.
Ooh, that's some a term I haven't it. Heard before.
Yeah. So some people call it a multi-channel marketing approach. The idea is that you don't know where your target audience is going to be hovering, right? I mean, yeah, we know. We think they're on LinkedIn. We think they're on Instagram or whatever, right? That's all fine and dandy, but you don't know where you're going to get that target audience's attention. Let's face it, not everybody's geeked about LinkedIn, right? By the same token, I can tell you that everybody's geeked about Instagram. So your job is to be sure that you're in all of these places at the same time.
What would be your best advice? Because I feel like as a beginner podcaster, someone might be a little overwhelmed thinking, how am I going to be everywhere at once? So right. And, if someone said that to you, what would be your response?
So my response kind of goes in line with an interesting story I can tell you. But the short version of it is take it in small chunks. Don't try to bite it all off at the same time. First of all, you'll never get there and you're going to frustrate yourself. And the story I can tell you around this idea and this concept is I was at a peer-to-peer CEO retreat years ago. And if you've ever been in any of these types of retreats, it's a very intense Friday to Sunday, and it's nonstop. The only time you get to turn off is when you go to sleep. And amongst this, in that particular retreat, there was we all had to go on some type of walk, and there were objectives throughout the walk. But the walk is almost like all day long. And by the time we got back, we're all very tired. But we also started to split off. Some people were faster. Some people were slower. Some people were taking their time in the middle. It was just all over the board. But there was another CEO that I noticed he was really lagging. And so I decided to go with him and just keep him company, because he was in fact like. And as we were going through that last stretch, whatever, and I can't remember what it was it 1 mile, was it 2 miles, whatever that last stretch was, what I told him, hey, listen, you see that rock over there? And I don't know, that rock was like, 30 yards away. We're going to go hit that rock. And then we got to the rock and said, okay, look at that tree. Now we're going to hit that one. That was another 30 or 40 yards. My point is, take it in small chunks. Because if you try to look at the whole distance, you're going to frustrate yourself and you're not going to get through it. Take it in small bits. And it's a lot easier, right? Okay, I'm going to just post on TikTok. Or maybe you say throughout the course of the week, I'm posting on TikTok on Tuesday. I'm posting on Instagram on Wednesdays. I'm doing LinkedIn on Mondays. Whatever that schedule looks like for you, take it in small bits. Believe me, you'll be able to do it. And this is not necessarily a race that you need to get everything done yesterday. By the time, I guarantee you, just like we did with Business Solutions, by the time here we are 6-7 months later, well, all of a sudden we have a YouTube channel that's full of videos. We didn't start off that way. And they weren't all perfect.
Start out pretty blank.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my advice. Do it in small bits. And it can be overwhelming. I completely understand. I've been there. I know what it feels like. But like I said, don't frustrate yourself.
I think that is really great advice, because I actually just had a consulting meeting with some clients that were just starting out on podcast, and I kind of gave them a general overview of, I'm like, well, your podcast can be this, 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 and this, and this, and this. And I probably took it too far too fast. And they looked at me and they're like, but we're just two people. And I'm like, it's okay. You don't have to do everything. This is just all the ideas I have. And I'm really excited, but you don't have to do everything.
Right. Exactly. Just take it in small pieces. Believe me, it works. And eventually you're going to find that, wow, look at all this stuff I've just accomplished. And you'll get there. And it works.
Yeah. It'll happen eventually. What advice do you have for people who might be doing it in the small chunks? They're maybe at that stage where they're doing what they can. They're sharing periodically across a couple different platforms, but they're not necessarily seeing the numbers that they think they should be seeing. Their videos might only be getting a couple hundred views, or maybe they had one pop off and then the rest of the videos just aren't doing as well. What advice would you give them to keep going?
The most important tool that you have in your arsenal is the entire podcast transcript. It is the most powerful thing you have, especially with the tools that we have available to us now. So number one, take the entire transcript, run it through ChatGPT, and have it suggest to you what would be an appropriate title, what's appropriate description. And of course, the description varies, right? YouTube has 5,000 characters. If you go to LinkedIn, you have a different set. If you go to TikTok, you have a different set, etc. But based on the platform that you're using, and per platform, if that's the case, ask it to give you the appropriate description for that platform. And that has to include the hashtags. And now all you're doing is copying, pasting, right? Title, description, tags. Find not just hashtags, but then you need the tags as well. And depending on the platform, you want to copy and paste those. You need to be able to take advantage of the AI platforms to help speed this process up and to get your quote unquote virtual assistant, right, to help make sure that all you have to do is copy and paste. Another more important piece of your arsenal is your own blog. And I would suggest getting a blog if you don't have one. And why? Take the transcript, turn it into a blog post. You got your, let's say it's a WordPress site, right? You got your title, you got your text copy, you got your H2 tags, you got your categories, you got your WordPress tags, an image, et cetera, et cetera. Throw your podcast. If it's audio only, that's fine. Take the embed code, stick it in. If it's a video, all right, take YouTube and put that in there. And more importantly, when you're done, ask ChatGPT to give you what's called the JSON code, or what's also known as structured data code. It's a piece of script that is specific to the search engines and the AI engines. When they read your website and they see that script tells them everything that they need to know. You want to take that, copy and paste it. That's all you're doing. So if you think about the infrastructure that you're going to create here, is to take your transcript and use ChatGPT to help you with all the various content elements that are effective, and to be perfectly honest, you're perhaps more effective than what you might come up with, because ultimately you're asking ChatGPT, give me the title, give me the description, the tags, etc., so that my podcast can be found, so that my podcast grabs people's attention, and that it's going to make it interesting for them to listen or view me. Now, if you give it the appropriate instructions and the proper prompts, you're going to get what you need so that this works a lot easier. So the piece that you and I are talking about right now is laying that infrastructure down. Once the podcast is over, you have your transcript. Now, how do you lay that foundation across the different platforms on the web?
I love this so much. I think this is so valuable. I think something that gets overlooked is that transcript and using it, especially to create a blog. I tell people this all the time. I have a dozen clients, and my client that is raking in the most downloads every single month is the one that puts every show out as a blog with all the tags, embedded codes, and all that stuff. It is so important. And I feel like people overlook it because maybe they don't know how to write a blog or don't know how to run a blog or are scared to use ChatGPT to do it or just don't know how.
I mean, keep in mind, the blog is another element in your omni-channel marketing, okay? It's one more piece of that puzzle that you're creating. And the blog is an effective tool. From the blog, you get to link to everything else. You get to link to Instagram, to TikTok, to LinkedIn, to YouTube, whatever you're using, right? You get to sit there and link to all these places, which helps to facilitate the search engines and the AI engines to better understand what it is that you're about. And based on your links and everything else that you're creating, it's going to help to facilitate the marketing process.
I think that is such valuable advice. That's like a little nugget of gold you're holding in your hand right there. I think that is just fantastic. And
there is one more.
Oh, keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Yeah, my God. All right. So I'm going to pitch us just a smidge, but the concept still applies. So we just launched in the past year our press release marketing service called Smart Press. Why is it that I was so gung-ho on us doing this when there's so many different services out there that will either syndicate your press release, which is the low budget end, versus distribute it, which is the higher end through the more professional channels? And that's because a lot of press release services really lack in the piece that I think is so important. But press release marketing is another inexpensive route to take. Why? And I won't get into all the details, but once you've laid, don't do this right away. Okay, please. You need to lay your groundwork first.
So okay, don't hit publish on your podcast and then say press release marketing.
Yeah, no. That's no. Lay your groundwork first, because you need stuff that has to go into the press release that's going to travel with the press release, the links, the images, the videos, whatever it is that you're going to attach to the press release when it's going out there. But here's the thing. Since the pandemic, the amount of noise on the internet is mind-boggling. And I don't mean noise in terms of competition or whatever. I'm just saying noise, period. It's just everybody and everything just went in house. And all we could do during the pandemic was get online. And believe me, once we got online, we could not let go. Where press release marketing facilitates this process is that it helps to get above the noise. Because let's face it, it's paid. You don't want to use a free syndication. It's not going to work. You're going to pay for your press release. And I'm not suggesting you have to do one every day or one every week. One a month is fine. If you can do two a month, that's great. Don't exceed two a month. Everybody reads news. So if you put out a press release about your podcast, you're likely to get attention at some point. And that attention is going to do two things. Aside from getting you notable links back to all of your infrastructure, which is important for Google's and for the AI engines and for Wikipedia type sources, you're going to turn around and get the attention of the media, the journalists, the editors. If they consistently see you, they're likely to say, who is this? They're going to want to interview you. Mm-hmm. Now you all of a sudden you go in a completely different direction. You started off with the news networks. All of a sudden now you're into the media, and the media is going to help to facilitate getting you out there even further. But you need to start with a press release marketing. And I do suggest you find some level of consistency to run these press releases. Again, use ChatGPT, speed it up, get your links together, get your content, your PDFs, your videos, right? Because if you pay for it, then that content travels with the press release. So I think this is an important element to consider in today's world, is to do press release marketing.
I cannot believe that I never thought of that. I was a radio DJ for almost 10 years, and I would get press releases in my inbox every single morning. Why have I never thought to do that for my clients?
Yeah, there you
Sometimes
go.
Sometimes it just takes someone feeding you the right idea that you've probably thought of but didn't like actually bring it to the forefront. I love that. That is genius. I have some clients with some actual in-person events related to their podcasts coming up in the start of 2026. And I'm like, now's the time. Cool. We should be getting press releases out about this. Yep.
Exactly.
Oh, Maylee, you're a genius.
First of all, I remember I was on a radio show moons ago, and I was introduced as the expert digital marketing, right? Or digital marketing expert. And we were on the live show. It's Tampa. I told the host, I said, listen, I'm not an expert, or in this case, I'm not a genius. But what I have is knowledge and experience to apply to whatever it is that we're doing. The only thing I need to add is understand the technology and the strategies that's, you know, they're never ending, changing every 30, 60, 90 days. But outside of that, the question is, how do you take your knowledge and experience and put it to work? And as you can imagine, after 40 years, you gain a lot of knowledge, experience, and more importantly, a lot of fun stories to tell.
Yes. Well, and you mentioned early on that you're an early adopter of things. I'm sure that's a huge help too.
Yes, absolutely. Especially when something new comes out, and I got to figure out how to use it to help our clients. I think it's imperative in today's world that you just, you know, my 4 A's of change, for example, right? Evolved over time, but more importantly, you need to accept the changes. If you think about the fact that you need to anticipate change, and what that means is you have to set aside money for future investments into your company. You need to accept change, which is where my clients tend to fret, fuss, and fume about it, which I think is useless.
Yeah.
Because the change is moving forward. It's either you're with it or you're not. And if you're going to stay behind, or like I like to say, get if you decide to get off the Google train, that's great. But your competition is still on the train and they're moving at 100 miles an hour faster than you are.
Yep.
So there is no version. There's no logical version of you getting off that Google train. You need to stay on the Google train. It'll cost you 10, 20 times more to catch up to your competition afterwards. Just accept the change. Get your emotion out of the way. Now, the next two items are actually pretty easy. Adapt to the changes, which means, well, what do I need to do to make this happen? What do I change in my process? What do I change in my content? What do I need to do to enact this change? And last one's the easiest, adapt it, you know, implement it basically, and just move forward. And so this concept of accepting change, trying out new things. Don't worry if you make a mistake, which unfortunately, so much of our society is based on the fact that I'm not allowed to make any mistakes. It's like, no, I love mistakes. I keep on trying to figure out how to make more mistakes. And so I think it's imperative that we look at the new things. Like nowadays, right? We want to take a look at AI agents. How do we use the AI agents to do more than just what we've been able to do since ChatGPT came to the market? OpenAI has its own agents that you can set up. You might be familiar with N as in Nancy, the number 8N, and then N as in Nancy, N8N. That's another platform, but that one's more designed for developers. OpenAI's agents are a little more, you know, run-of-the-mill for everyday people to figure out how to get involved in that system. I think that's an important area to start looking into and do so quickly.
I love that you're in the marketing industry and you're not afraid of AI. I feel like I've just been, I'm on kind of the marketing side of TikTok, and I feel like I'm seeing more and more marketing people. They're like, oh no, it's human touch is the way to go. And it's like, yes, human touch is important. But if you don't start adopting AI in some capacity, like you said, you're going to miss the train and then you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to catch up to it. I'm a huge proponent of using AI for almost everything. Obviously, you got to put your own spin on it. You got to prompt it the right way. But it's such an important tool, and I feel like
it's a little bit of, you know, some of these people are more concerned on the creative side. They're thinking that, you know, they feel like AI is taking over creative. And then, of course, writers are saying AI is taking over content, of, you know, text copy and so on and so forth. And my suggestion is you decide at your level for your company, for the work that you do, to what level you're going to use AI and how you're going to use it. Granted, it's being abused. Well, maybe not abused is the wrong word. It's being misused in a lot of cases. And I'm on board with that. But you, as the user of the AI platforms, you can decide to go in that direction where it's being misused, or you figure out how to use it the appropriate way for your business, for your clients, in, you know, if you want to call it an ethical way. But that doesn't mean that we sit there and argue how to put the cat back in the bag. It's just not happening.
Right.
This is not a choice.
That cat is out and it is gone. It's running down the block right at this point.
So I understand the arguments, and believe me, I've been in them, but I still think it comes down to the individual. You as the individual decide how to use the tool.
And like you said, you mentioned a really great way to use the tool with taking the transcript and using it as a way to come up with titles and descriptions. I think that is so, it's an easy way to get into using AI to help distribute your show and do it in a way that's actually moving the needle in some capacity other than just throwing up your show and hoping that Google picks it up by some chance.
And listen, you know, I think we all know, the number of podcasts in the world and on the internet is mind-boggling. Apple has its own platform. Google has its own platform. You got all these different variations out there using a variety of different tools and platforms for their podcasts. You need to figure out how you're going to stand out. Either it's a niche or it's because of the work that you're doing to help get it noticed. Listen, there's no reason why you can't go to ChatGPT and say, here's my podcast. Tell me how to promote it. And I'm not suggesting it's going to come up, you know, it's going to come back with a lot of options that are practical for you. None of the choices are going to be wrong. Question is it practical for you to execute what it suggests? But again, same thing. I'm going to say, find a starting point. Start off small. Build on it slowly but surely. Don't try to get it all knocked out and, you know, in 2 hours, it's just not going to happen.
Definitely not going to happen in the blink of an eye. But I think you have shared some wonderful insight with us today. As we kind of wrap up the show here, I have just a couple of quick little questions for you. One, as you just mentioned, there's a bunch of different hosting platforms, Apple, Spotify. Where do you guys host your podcast through? What are you using for distribution on that end?
For our little, you know, Business Lunatics podcast, we just throw it up on YouTube. We're not doing anything fancy. We don't have it on Spotify. We don't have it on SoundCloud. We don't have it, you know, on Apple, anywhere else at the moment. Again, it goes back to the same thing. All four of us are business owners. All four of us have a lot of responsibilities that we already have to contend with every day and every week. There's only so much we can chew off. And so we decided we're going to chew off YouTube right now. I'm trying to get the rest of the loonies to at least do their thing with, you know, thumbs up and comments and replies on LinkedIn, on YouTube. Just trying to get them to get through that has been enough of a difficult process. But they're slowly getting into the rhythm, so to speak. But I don't think there's anything wrong with any of these platforms. You have to decide what's going to work for you, for your audience. And more importantly, how much time do you have to be able to copy, paste, post across all these different channels that are available to you. If you want to hire a virtual assistant, I mean, when I say virtual assistant, I mean a human being. If you want to hire a virtual assistant who can help you copy, paste, you know, because at the end of the day, it's mundane work. You might be able to go in that direction. these AI agents can do this as well. And the biggest issue with these AI agents is you have to figure out how to set it up. Once you get it set up, though, it will run for you. But those are my suggestions, right? Either a human being that is an assistant, or consider AI agents, understand them, learn them, go to the one at OpenAI because it's easier to understand. And then, of course, the last option is you do a lot of these things on your own together with ChatGPT. But somewhere in the middle of those three options, one of them is going to do the trick for you.
I absolutely love that response because I oftentimes when people first start their podcast and they come to me and they're like, well, what's the right answer? How often should I be posting? What should I be doing? I'm like, the best thing you can do is whatever is sustainable long-term for you. So if that's posting once a month, if it's posting once every 2 months, if it's posting every day, whatever you can do consistently and not lose your ever-loving shit, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. But you use a very key word there, consistency. Mm-hmm. Make sure that your frequency and consistency is there. If you can't keep up the consistency, then you need to back off. Find the consistency that you can maintain. It's so important. Gosh, I could tell you a whole story on that one as well.
Go for it. I got time.
Go for it.
Go for it.
We had a client project several years ago, and it was a B2C project. And we were given just such a short notice amount of time to get everything together. It was crazy. But I implemented a new social media strategy. And the social media strategy was basically building an army of freelancers where we said, post this into your account. We hired like 20 people. Then we would turn around and ask them to cross-post, repost, cross-comment, and so on and so forth, right, to get attention. The interesting thing is our budget was the same every month. This is a brand new website, the brand new brand. The amount of content we had every month was identical. The number of people working on the project were all identical. Of course, as you can imagine, we, you know, with the team, and we didn't have AI back then, we had to create all that content ahead of time so that we're not sitting here waiting for content to be created before we can do something with it. So we usually had about 30 days worth of content pre-planned and ready.
It's a lot.
But it required it because it goes back to that frequency and the consistency. Now, considering that everything was identical every month, and the only thing we had to do is just bite the bullet and get the first 30 days out of the way. Because during the second 30 days, while one team was posting and distributing, the development team was creating again. So the biggest challenge we had was starting that first 30 days worth of content, get that out of the way before the campaign started. Now, all things being equal and everything being identical, I can tell you that in 4 months, no lie, I still have the Google Analytics for it, we drove 824,000 people to that website over that four-month period. Now, this, we did an analysis afterwards to try and figure out why was that. And it came down to the fact that we had that consistency. We had the necessary frequency. People got used to the content over time. And the, of course, we did our strategy, you know, research strategy and planning ahead of time. But it was interesting to see the compounding effect month over month over month. And although this is a strategy I came up with because of Google's Hummingbird algorithm in 2013, because I got sick and tired of Google. I'm like, we got to find a different way than relying on Google for everything, right? And so the social media strategy was built on this concept, but I never took into account the possible compounding effect because of the consistency and the frequency. The amount of content was identical. Everything was identical week, month after month, but all of a sudden there was this huge growth every month thereafter. It was crazy. But this comes down to what you were saying, consistency.
Consistency is key. It's a saying for a reason.
I agree.
I love it. That's a wonderful story to wrap on. I have one last final follow-up or final question.
Sure, go for it.
Other than your own podcast, what podcast have you been listening to lately?
Oh, geez. Which podcast am I listening to? And I'm just going to give you a flat out honest answer. honestly, I don't even have time to listen to my own podcasts.
That is the most business owner answer I have ever
heard. I'm just being real. Honestly.
It's so real.
It is for me. That's, you know, it's, you know, I know some people, you know, they'll exercise and listen to podcasts while they're doing it. They'll be in the car, they'll listen to a podcast. But honestly, when I'm in the car or I'm exercising, I need to turn off. I'll lose my mind any other way if I don't. As you can imagine, running this agency and the team and everything else that we've got going on, there's a lot going on. I don't want to say it's all stress. It's not necessarily stress, but you're trying to meet goals. You're trying to, you know, achieve the results that everybody's looking for. And at some point, it's just like one more thing I can't handle.
And this is the wonderful world of entrepreneurship.
Exactly. Which is why we're lunatics.
I love it. Well, Maylee, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for being my first guest. This has been wonderful introduction to adding this to my show. Great. And I'm so glad that Podmatch connected us.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
If people
hopefully
want
we can
to,
do it again.
Yes. If people want to stay in touch with you, how can they find you?
So I have 22,000 really close friends on LinkedIn. So what I usually tell people to do is, number one, tag me on your post. You don't have to be connected to me to tag me. Just tag me on your post. I will get an email in my regular inbox, which will tell me, hey, somebody tagged me, so I need to react and comment, which I do. I put a solid comment in, solid hashtags. And of course, the other thing I suggest is connect with me on LinkedIn. I guarantee I'm the only Maylee Ostalee there. You're not going to find another Maylee Ostalee there. And so I usually tell people just catch up with me on LinkedIn. It's the best place to find me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Abby. It's great to be on the show.